Chapter 21, The Screen Sifter. In town, the streets were busy with delivery trucks, but the driver managed to pull the truck right in front of the hardware store. I thanked him, even offering a few dollars for the ride, but he refused, saying he was glad that he could help me. As an American, I had already come to realize that the townspeople are generally willing to help you find what you need, especially when they know you are here to help their people. As I exited the truck, I almost forgot the black plastic bag filled with sand. One of the men whistled and handed it to me from the back of the truck, where he had kept it from spilling. This sample of sand would be used to ensure I got the correct screen size for the screen sifter. Basically, if the holes in the screen were too small, then none of the sand would go through, and if too big, then too many of the large pebbles would pass. Before going into the hardware store, I found a clear area beside the sidewalk to place my backpack, my plastic lunch bag, and the bag of sand. Then I armed myself with my notebook, pen, and Spanish-English dictionary. Walking on nothing but faith and knowing I'm called to build this bridge, I walked toward the entrance to the hardware store. As I went to walk inside, I became elated. Sitting directly to the right of the entrance was a rack displaying four different sized rolls of screened wire. This was going to be much easier than I had imagined. The store owner saw me and came to see what I needed. I placed my hand on the medium-sized screen, indicating for him to cut only a small piece. I went and got the bag of sand, hoping he would understand. Thankfully, he did. I took the small piece of screen and the sand and knelt down beside the sidewalk. I slowly poured a handful of sand onto the screen, watching the smaller granules flow easily through while the larger pebbles remained on top. Perfect. Satisfied this was the correct size, I told the store owner, 3 feet. Realizing he obviously didn't understand, I restated the amount in Spanish, uno metro. Within seconds, I was holding 1 meter of the screen. Then I remembered at the construction site in El Salvador, the screen sifter was badly worn from extended use, the screen having several rips and a large tear. With this in mind, I told him, dos, or two. Having two screen sifters at the bridge site would not only speed up the process of sifting the sand, but provide a spare if one became damaged. Now all I needed was a couple of 2x4s to make the wooden frames. Taking out my notebook, I sketched a square frame and said, wood? He just stared at me. I quickly looked up wood in the English part of the dictionary and tried to pronounce the Spanish word madera. He looked puzzled, so I showed him the word in my dictionary. Now he better understood my sketch and pointed down the street. As I looked down the street, I didn't see anything that looked like a lumberyard. I turned back to him and gestured, where? He smiled and pointed at the next cross street and started counting and hand signaling, uno, dos, tres. I smiled and repeated his instructions to show I understood. Now realizing the lumberyard was on the third street over, I paid him for the 2 pieces of screen and began walking in that direction. After walking past the third street, I could see where the street seemingly turned to dirt. Thinking maybe I was supposed to turn down the third street, I went back. As I turned to walk down that street, I heard someone say, hey, man. I quickly turned around to see 3 young girls sitting inside their family's small convenience store. They were all giggling because one of them had just said something in English to me, and I had actually turned around to acknowledge the statement. Looking over at them, I could quickly tell they had begun to feel uncomfortable. So I approached the open-fronted store slowly. For a moment, we just looked at one another, none knowing what to say next. Then one of the girls excitedly pointed to the plastic bag I was toting. I knew exactly what she was looking at, my leftover bread rolls from breakfast. I handed her the bag, then pulled out my Spanish-English dictionary. Now I needed her help. After explaining the best I could lumber and trying to better pronounce the word Madero, she pointed down the street towards where the pavement ended. I thanked her and once again started walking. Just before the pavement ended, there was a woodworking shop. The workers were busy planing, rough cut lumber, making each side smooth and even. This appeared to be a professional woodworking shop, at least the best I was going to find in this town. I watched in the doorway for several minutes before a worker finally noticed me, prompting him to get the shop's owner. The saws made it very noisy and difficult for us to greet one another, so the owner and I stepped outside. The noise from the saws really didn't bother me since I only knew a handful of words in Spanish. Once outside, I showed him the two pieces of screen, the bag of sand, and a sketch of what I needed him to build. He studied the sketch of what I saw as a screen sifter. At that moment, I remembered the screen sifter in El Salvador lacked an easy way to hold it while moving it back and forth, so I tried to indicate the need for handles by drawing lines on each end. I also remembered the screen was not attached to the wooden frame very well, so I wanted this one to be more rugged and reinforced, the screen securely attached to the frame. As we both struggled to understand one another, a young man suddenly appeared who knew perfect English and Spanish. After about 5 minutes of him translating, the woodshop's owner redrew the frame, his showing detailed handles and explaining that it would be well built. Now the only question I had was, how much for two? Speaking through the translator, he said he would make two for 500 cordobas, or about $23. That seemed like a lot to me, so I told him it was for the bridge at the Bulbul River. The young man interpreted my negotiating statement, and the owner agreed to make them for 400 cordobas, about $9 each, since it was for the bridge. We shook hands, and I thanked him. As I gathered my backpack to leave, I asked when I could pick them up. No interpreter was needed for his response, tres, or three. After finishing our conversation, I stood there for a moment, amazed at what had just taken place. Starting the construction on the bridge this week depended on getting the screen sifters made. Now, not only were they getting made, but I would be able to pick them up in less than 3 hours. Then I realized I needed something other than a motorcycle to carry them to the bridge site. I needed a truck. Once again, I was depending on God to put the people in my path who could help me. Walking and looking in the direction of the town square, I saw the church steeple in the distance. For some reason, I didn't feel comfortable walking alone on the street, so I stopped for a moment to consider my options and say a short prayer. Lifting my head up, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Danilo's van. At that moment, I'm really not sure whose eyes were bigger, but I believe Oscar's were, not believing I was walking alone in this part of town. I did the best I could to explain to him why I was here, pointing to the wood shop and then showing him the sketch of the screen sifter. I could tell he had no idea what he was looking at, but only hoped he understood that I needed to be back here at 3 o'clock to pick up the pieces and take them to the bridge site. Of course, it really didn't matter, because the stonemason had once again not shown up for work. Though I knew how to hand mix the concrete and place the stones, I was only here for a week. This project needed an experienced stonemason who could organize the daily work activities and supervise the volunteers from the communities. It was past time for lunch, so I had Oscar drop me off at the cafe. As I was sitting and enjoying a sandwich, a Nicaraguan businessman walked in from the street and sat down at my table. He had seen me in town and wanted to know what I was working on and if I needed any help. We talked for probably 30 minutes on everything from politics to poverty. I showed him pictures of the bridge construction and explained my church's involvement. He was amazed, and as he was leaving, he thanked me for coming and helping his people. Finishing the last bite of my sandwich, I took out my phone and checked the time and for any new messages. I still had over an hour before needing to be back at the wood shop. At that moment, Danilo's wife stepped outside to greet me and ask how things were going at the bridge. I told her I needed to speak to Mike. Before I could say another word, she was pushing the numbers on her cell phone and handing me the phone. Danilo answered, "Hola." Hearing my voice, he immediately handed the phone to Mike. I explained to Mike that the stonemason had not shown up for work either day, but most of the preparation work had been completed, checking the dimensions of the excavation, laying out the walls of the foundation tier, and sorting the stone pile. Now I needed for Danilo's truck to meet me at the wood shop at 3 o'clock to pick up the screen sifters and take them to the bridge site. Our conversation ended with me explaining to him the location of the wood shop and him assuring me the truck would be there at 3 o'clock. During our conversation, Mike couldn't believe the stonemason had not shown up for work, but was pleased at how much I had gotten done and told me I was doing a good job. Those words were all I needed to hear, to know Mike was pleased with the progress of the construction. As I walked back to the wood shop that afternoon, I kept reminding myself that the bridge wasn't going to be built in a month, or even 2 months. My assignments from Milos were to get the construction site organized, purchase the sand and cement, and hire a stonemason who would supervise the workers from the community. If I could accomplish all of this, then I would be leaving on Friday with a big smile on my face.